Welcome to the Adonis Index Podcast. I'm John Barman, and with me is Han Gutman, and he came in third place in our last contest. Check his pictures out at adonisindex.com. Your pictures are great, and we were just talking off air about your back shot, which I think might be the best one out of the whole competition. No offense to everybody else. Everybody else looked good, too, but yours came out really well. Actually, so why don't we just get back into what we were talking about, what did you think when you saw all of your pictures, but specifically that one?
You know, it was really, really odd. Hello to everybody, by the way. I was really surprised. I had not really taken a lot of pictures of myself, and I'd never had anybody else. Well, actually, my wife took those pictures, so I hadn't seen any pictures of myself other than, you know, the occasional cell phone shot in the mirror type of thing. And I was looking at it, and I was, wow, you know, I thought I had a lot further to go than I did, and I saw the pictures, and I was, wow, you know, I was really pretty happy with the way they turned out, and actually very surprised at some of it, especially the back shot, because I'd never seen my back before. Mm-hmm. And the way it came out was, I was very pleased with it, because I was, you know, I didn't realize I had that kind of development, and I was like, wow, you know, hey, that's something to feel good about. So it was really nice to see.
Yeah, you've been walking around with that thing all this time, and you didn't know.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and it does help the confidence too. So, you know.
Yeah. And you hit the so you did the you used the posing tutorial. How many shots did you take? Like, did you take a whole like a bunch? Like, how many did you take to get to that? Because it's hard to do, right? Because you can't see. Was she coaching you like to flex, or how did you get it to? That's real good.
No, it was just like I said. It might have been just dumb luck because I've seen oodles of pictures in bodybuilding magazines and things like that. I've just kind of seen it. And I just tried to kind of emulate what I'd seen before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we probably took in that set of poses, we probably took maybe 6 shots.
Is that all?
And yeah. And I mean, and that we probably only took about 6 shots for each pose. And how many poses do you have to, you know, do we submit? It was, you know, there's about 6 or 7, mm-hmm. 8, maybe. Mm-hmm. maybe. And so we only had about, you know, 5 or 6 shots per pose, and so I tried to pick the best ones from there. So, yeah, I mean, I was really pleased with the way they came out because it was just a little, you know, a little 6-megapixel digital camera that we had, and it worked out pretty well.
Okay, so, now that we're on the picture topic, let's just go into how you guys set that up. So you just used a simple camera. What kind of background? Where are you? Like with that background?
Yeah,
stuff?
I just set up a camera on a tripod, and we have a movie projector.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so it has a screen that comes down, and I flipped it around and put the black side out, and then we have some side got some windows in the room, and so we just kind of shut the doors and kind of brought the windows in and put some lights over on the other side. And what ended up happening is a lot of the pictures, they all came out pretty well, but they were kind of dark. Mm-hmm. So I did actually go in and brighten them, and what it did was it pulled the contrast up because they were just too underexposed. You know,
yeah.
The pictures turned out great, but I just had to brighten them a little bit because you couldn't see, you know, very much contrast between the body and the background.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sometimes people send me pictures. We do that, too. Like, sometimes pictures come in that are just way dark, and then all we do is just turn the lights up on them, and it brings everything in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yep. And the lights, you just grab lights around the house? Like, what'd you do?
I went out and got I have some shop lights. One of them was, like, this big 500-watt halogen thing, and it just blows everything away. It just didn't work. And then the other ones were just a couple of bare light bulbs. And just kind of threw them, you know, around, and it worked out pretty well. I was actually very pleased.
So orienting from the camera and you as a straight line, and then the wall behind you as like a 90-degree angle. So where were the lights compared to your body and the camera?
You figure about 45 degrees on the side.
Okay.
And yeah, I had one of them hanging on a ladder rung, so that would have been about hip height.
Okay.
And then I had another one on the floor.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it was a little bit of a wash from bottom to top. Mm-hmm. And then there was just, we did some shots that just, we didn't do the side lighting. We just did the overhead lighting from the room. Uh-huh. And that's where you see some of the top-down stuff. Yeah. We probably only did about a half dozen of those, though.
So, and that's, yeah, and it pulled out lots of your definition. So I'm just trying to show people that I'm just, the reason I ask is so people realize they don't have to go hire anybody and they don't have to buy anything. They can just, the stuff you have around the house will work.
Oh yeah, for sure. I was really worried about that because one of the first things going in was like, gosh, do I have to go get a pro, a pro setup to, hire somebody to do well in this? And really the answer is no. I mean, you could just kind of, just look and see what other people do. I looked at a couple of books when I was in the bookstore, before that and said, oh, they kind of showed how to set up the lights and stuff. And I didn't go out and buy any reflectors or anything like that. It was just standard, stuff that I had at home, and we just kind of threw it together, so it worked out.
Yeah, people don't realize that. Like, I've never done a professional photo shoot. It's just me and Pelon hacking our way through it in our gym or in one of our houses. And so I think my pictures turned out okay. And like yourself and a few others in the contest. Well, lots of people in the contest. You just don't have to. I mean, if you want to, you can, but it's not clearly not necessary. I mean, your pictures turned out really well. And
Yeah, I think I would have been more comfortable if I had somebody who knew what they were doing to tell me what to do. So I kind of just stumbled through it, and it worked out okay. But I was just happy to make them so that they actually came out somehow, And you were talking about you brought up the idea, the thing of the definition. I was going to mention that I did in the bonus section when you guys switched over to AGR, I did do the Kyle Leon thing,
Oh, okay. Yeah, how'd that go?
the 7 days out. It was odd because I'd been doing the diet and everything, and I'd been doing the RTD numbers and doing as well as I could with that. And then on the 7 days out, I started doing everything that was in that packet, and the water and everything like that is, but then when you get up to the glycogen deplete and everything, the last 2 days when you hit the carbs, I was amazed at how much, because it says there's a software in there, but it's basically, if you got a calculator, you can just figure it out, because it gives you all the percentages of everything to do. And I started hitting the carbs on the carb up time, and I was amazed because I was eating like crazy, and it was, it seemed like I was eating volume, three times of what I'd been used to eating, just for this carb up, And I don't know, if that helped. I'm sure it helped with the definition and being able to pull the water into the muscle, but with the carbs. But it was just I felt like I was, cheating after I'd
Yeah.
been so strict with my diet for so
Yeah,
long,
it is weird in those last few stages, especially when you're doing these little sort of funny manipulations at the end. A guy that's down the hall here, he just did a physique competition. Same thing, like the day before the show, his coach has him go out for a steak dinner, specifically like a nice high fat steak, like a prime rib or something. And he tells him, go, don't cut the fat off, eat it. Like eat, because like some of those cuts have a nice marbling of fat. And his coach told him specifically, go ahead, eat all of it. Like don't slice the layers of fat out of it. And he's like, and have cheesecake afterwards. So he just wants him to have just high everything, but lots of fat. Like he doesn't even care how much protein. He just like, and then he looks really full the next day. It just works. So is there something going on that we can't quite, I don't know. No one's really going to ever scientifically study this, but enough anecdotal evidence to suggest that at the end there, when you're lean, and if you do like the depletion exercises, you can kind of, at least temporarily, really change the way things look and hopefully thicken up the muscles for at least a little bit of time there.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to do though. You talk about it's when you get into the heavy carb depletion in the first part, and you're trying to work out, you just feel dead. You don't have any, your muscles don't have any life to them. You try to pump and it just aches.
Oh, and you won't get a,
it was an odd feeling.
It is weird, eh? I like the way you said it. They just don't have any life, and instead of a pump, it aches. It's as far as having any oomph in the gym, you got none. But you can
It
move.
was just, yeah, I mean, everything, I mean, the strength and everything was still there. It was just an odd feeling when you were trying to, do the reps. You couldn't get any pump or anything. You just felt kind of flat.
depleted, flat, just out of gas, whatever the word is. It's a funny feeling, but that's one of the tricks. And again, these are all like final stage manipulations. And by the way, this all that stuff, what you just did, only has an effect when you're as lean as you are in these pictures. Like, if you have a layer of fat on you, it's none of that stuff will show through.
Yeah, that was the thing about the document, the 7 days out document. They said, if you're relatively lean, it'll help you. But if you're not quite there yet, then it'll make you look okay, but it's not gonna the big drastic change is gonna be when you're really, pretty close. And it would take you that last level. And I think it really did help. I'd recommend to anybody else, to try doing that. If you can, just sit down with a calculator and hook up the numbers, for your weight and everything. It's all right there. And, set it out for the week and then just try to follow it. Because I followed that to a T, and I thought it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, and did you feel yourself kind of pumping up? Like afterwards, you're like, oh, there's actually significant change. Like, you should have been able to feel a difference in, especially if you went in and did some working out afterwards, you should have felt nice and full.
Yeah, not as much as I thought. It wasn't like a full pump. When you go and you do a good, say like a good biceps exercise or something, a good set, a few sets of those, and you get that, that big pump, you feel really full. It didn't feel quite like that, so I'm thinking the timing might have been off a little bit. But for the most part, you can feel it, and you kind of feel, once you get pumped, you feel kind of a lot bigger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
And
for sure.
so, you know, so that, you know, that kind of comes out, and I think that kind of helps with the photos too. It kind of, you can kind of exude that size feel, in the pictures, because you're just, hey,
You
we're in
actually,
the we're in the moment, we're just doing it here,
and you
just
actually
doing the
feel it.
poses.
Yeah, and you actually feel it. Yeah, no, yeah, it's interesting. I notice after certain meals, vascularity. I don't know, do you notice that? Like certain meals, and all of a sudden, all your veins just pop out.
I've got, you look down and you're like, wait a minute, what did I just eat? Because, my arms are, they're like a roadmap. It's just really, it's really odd to see that. And then you go back and you try to figure what caused that, and I still can't figure that
I
out.
think it's just leanness and food volume. Like if you have a big mixed meal I don't know if it's one kind. I just know that it happens. And maybe people should, anyone who's lean enough, maybe try to pay attention if one food does it more than another. But I know every now and then after eating, I'll look and just be like, or someone will be with me. They're like, what's wrong with your arms? And I'm like, oh, it's just, I just, it literally is just because it's just before eating, and then afterwards when you're just sitting around having a drink after you're done eating, and it's just like whoosh, just goes. So that's partly just the volume, like all the water and the just the and as the, I mean it, when it when all the food absorbs, it ends up in your blood first. Like it's got to go to your blood, and then your temporarily your blood volume's up, so it just kind of just fills out. I don't know how else to say
Sure. Yeah, it just kind of puffs everything, I guess. Puffs all of your veins, huh?
Yeah, so well, anyways, your pictures are good, and the posing tutorial. So you've never done any of this before. You just watched the tutorial and
No.
just hacked your way through it. Yeah. Well, I mean, you
Yeah, I
did
mean,
well.
I've been in the community for, I think I joined in late 2011. So I've been doing the workouts and everything, and I've been following the, what was going on. I'm on there just about every day and just seeing. I'm kind of a lurker. I keep an eye on everything that's going on and see what I can pick up. And I, there's a lot of stuff like, the podcasts and the things that are going on in the forums and everything about what people are trying, what people are doing. And I was able to, just kind of soak up a lot of that information, over the year, little over a year that I was a member, and just, see what other people are doing and see how it goes. And so I just kind of tried to emulate everything that I'd, seen other folks talk about and be able to, try to do that myself. And, it worked out pretty well. I'm pretty happy with the results.
Oh yeah, you should be. Was there anybody in particular that you that was you could call out was the was a useful guide for, like, for instance, you didn't use a photographer, which is great, and I'm glad you, I'm glad your pictures turned out the way they did, because I want people to understand they just, they do not have to spend money on good pictures. You can do them at home. Was there anybody you remember, like, oh, that person did good pictures, I'm going to read what they did? Like, I know Gaddafi did really good ones by himself. Like, his were probably the best I've seen on your own. He didn't even have someone on the camera. I think he went over, pressed the button himself on the timer. And so, but his pictures turned out great, and he did a very similar thing that you did.
Yeah. You know, I can't think of anybody in particular. You know, I do remember folks' pictures that turned out really well, like Pete's pictures. You know, those are phenomenal. I mean, the guy is ripped like crazy.
He used to be a professional photographer.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But
I mean,
I think he did his on his own, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, he just really knows what he's doing, that's all.
Yeah, and, you know, it's obvious the folks who have an eye for the lighting and know, you know, what to do and make it look right. But, no, I just kind of stumbled through and just tried to pick up as much as I could from different folks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I went along, I was just like, well, you know, I wonder if I should try this. And so I'd write down some of the stuff as I thought about it. And, wasn't
go ahead.
A big deal, you know.
Yeah, it's not that hard. It's the, no. You know what I think I'm going to do is get someone, maybe Pete, I don't know, I'm gonna ask around for advice on how to actually use an SLR camera or digital. Because cameras have so many settings on them that they just default to a pretty standard setting. But if you know how to use them, because we had somebody coach us on how to use ours, but before we did, we didn't know what we were doing. And then as soon as you like know how to use a camera correctly, holy smokes, can you ever get a better picture? And it's all built into any standard camera that's, you know, I mean, beyond a phone, like an iPhone camera, is if you actually have a camera that's got any settings on it, you can do so much with it. And I'm pretty sure everyone in our contest probably has access to something like this. So I think what I'm going to do is a coaching. I got to get someone to teach me, and then I'll post the settings people should use.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I think so, because why not? Like, you probably didn't realize the camera you had could have done a lot of this work for you just with the right setting. So
there's so many different settings in it, like you say, that it's like, how do you get the right ones? And, you know, what are you aiming for? You know, what are you trying to achieve, you know, as far as the shutter and all that?
Even if you don't know, like, flip through every setting, snap a shot with each setting and see which one looks best. I mean, it's...
Oh, for sure.
You know, it's all there.
I mean, it's so cheap. I mean, you don't have to worry about film or anything. It's all digital. You just delete it if it sucks.
Exactly. That's all we did. Before we had anyone teach us, we just went through all the settings until we got to, like, one that... And these are all, like, the preset ones. And then we had someone show us how to, like, manually change it to where you want. And I was like, oh, man, that's how you do it. Like, if you know what you're doing, you can really make it work. And you make it work for the type of light. So... I don't know. That's going to be a project that for this next contest.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the contest, so how did you get to the point where you decided you're going to do this, and then what workout did you follow?
Let's see. I'd been doing the AI 3.0 or 3.1, whatever, for quite a while. I'd been through that. I think probably I was on through my second time when the contest started.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been seeing what other, you know, the other transformations, and I was like, I'd never been able to really focus the diet well enough and just be able to, you know, pull the definition out like I wanted to. So I was, you know what, I'm going to try this thing and commit myself to this for 12 weeks and just tell myself that it's all or nothing. I just do as best I can with it and see what happens after the end of it. At the beginning of the contest, I was doing the last few weeks of the, one of the rages. It's the supersets, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Fibonacci, it's the next one.
Mm-hmm. The progressive supersets, yeah.
There you go. And I did those for about the first 4 weeks or so. And then that was about the time that, you changed over to the AGR stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so you released, the different workouts, but you know, you went to the Cat 1, 2, 3.
Mm.
And at that point I was going to start doing the Cat 3 because that's what the software told me to do. But then I was like, I kind of got intrigued about the final phase. So I went ahead and jumped onto the final phase, and I did that for the next 8 weeks.
Mm.
final 8 weeks of the contest, and I finished that up, you know, shortly after the contest was over. So,
what'd you think of that?
They were very, very difficult to stay with. I mean, it was a great challenge. The thing was, is I was kind of challenging my volume or my ability, my recovery and everything. I was doing it 6 to 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was hitting one of those lift, you know, workouts that were scheduled for 4 days a week. I was doing them 6 to 7 days a week. And,
oh, wow.
You know, okay. So some days you were, you know, hitting the same body parts over and over. And
Yeah.
I think it really, the volume really helped with the cutting up too. And I don't like cardio, so I think it really kept me from having to do too much of the cardio stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So because of the, you know, the supersets and the, you know, the fast pace and everything that the final phase has given you, I think it really helped with the definition because it was, the only cardio I did was just walking because if I'd have done any more, any real cardio, I wouldn't have been able to handle it because, you know, with one workout a day, I was getting pretty tired as it was. And if I tried to do any cardio, I'd just feel dead. I was just, you know, didn't have any energy left.
Mm-hmm.
So I was putting all my energy into the workouts and trying to focus on that, and it worked out pretty well because I was just doing enough where I did some walking or something after dinner and you know, just enough to keep myself from getting really run down.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that was probably the biggest thing that I learned out of the whole thing was that it would take a lot of cardio, I think, if I wasn't doing, you know, the volume, the lifting volume, in order to get the fat off. I don't know.
Some people do it. Yeah. I mean, I think it's an intensity issue. That workout is really intense. But if you can handle it, yeah. Instead of another workout of cardio, you could. I mean, you've proven that you can do it. We've had other guys, and you seem to be somewhat of a similar body type to a few of our other guys who doubled up. They went like 8 to 10 workouts a week. They were going twice a day, and they were doing, and so what they did was 5 of the workouts were what they would call high intensity or as hard as they could go. And then the other 5 were like, they were still one of the workouts in the modules, but what they did was kind of give it more of a, they went in with pace. They went in like at moderate intensity. So they did all the reps and all the sets, but they just, if they could have lifted 70, maybe you lift 40. And
I see,
squeeze the muscle and all this, but just don't go to the point where your eyes are bleeding sort of thing. And that's how they split it up. They literally partitioned their intensity accordingly and used the second workout literally as a conditioning, a little bit of a conditioning. Still a way to get cardio in kind of without doing cardio and still stimulate. And they both gained more muscle than if without.
Sure. It sounds like kind of what I was doing. They were doing the low intensity workout, which I would, you know, liken to what I was doing with the walking.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd have tried to do HIIT or anything, I probably just lost it.
No,
I wouldn't
have
been able to
impossible.
Keep it up.
No, not with what you were doing there. No way.
Yeah. So yeah, it was good because, you know, as far as the whole contest goes, it was one of those things where, you know, you talked about the diet and everything, and you go into, you know, 15% labeling errors and things like that, which is something I hadn't really ever done before. And so during the contest, I was actually counting calories, which I hadn't done before very well, because my estimates apparently were pretty poor. And then I threw in the extra 15%. You know, taking that off.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of your podcasts, you were saying, you know, I don't think people realize just how low calories have to be when you're trying to lose a significant amount of body fat. And so, you know, I'm looking at the number, you know, I was down in the 1300 range for most of it.
And how tall are you?
And I'm 5'9".
5'9", okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I think I started the contest at about 174.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the pictures I was mid-150s, 155, I think.
And it looks like that's where you belong. You can build some more muscle, but it's not a bad weight for you. It looks good.
Yeah, and it was weird because I think my AI ratio was 1.6 at the end of the contest, but I still have almost two inches to go on my shoulders.
Yeah, so you can.
So
you
I
just,
still
now
have
you,
a lot of work left to do.
You're in proportion now. Now you just have to get bigger overall, bigger.
Yeah,
and not fatter, bigger.
Yeah, and so you know, for all the guys that you know that are out there that think they have to you know get the ratio. I mean, excuse me, the golden ratio. If you can get around the 1.6 ratio, then you know you're in great shape anyway. So you know, if you can just keep that on your way up. You know, it's just that the what do you figure that the golden ratio is actually where your max muscle.
You mean having a 1.6 waist to shoulders versus true golden, where you're at full size. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. So you're golden. You're a golden ratio, just not what we would call the golden ratio for your size.
Right.
So you need to bring up, stay in proportion, just keep getting bigger.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it looks awesome. Right, like there's nothing wrong with this look. Like if you stay there, that's great. And if
right,
what we would say,
totally fine with that.
Yeah, what we would say is, as you continue working out, like you're probably not going to stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as you continue working out, you're going to just keep layering down more muscle mass to some end at where you just literally you can't not a whole lot more is going to, you know, the law of diminishing returns. Like a couple of years from now, you'll probably be there. Like.
Yeah.
If you stay in this condition, you keep getting thicker and thicker, and then at some point it'll just sort of normalize and you just won't really go anywhere, but that would be what we would guess would be true golden. You'd finally get to the full size. Maybe you do it this calendar year. And then we would think that's up closely approximates what's likely your genetic potential when you get to the true golden, which like you said is a couple inches to go still.
Yeah, well, and I know you in your conversation with Cody, you were talking about what a lot of people need to do or think about. What do they do next after they've done something like this? And for me, that's what it is. It's just you know I'd like to keep the same ratio because that's the good V taper and everything. But I've still got at least another. I figure it's going to be another couple of years before I get to the true golden. So that gives me something to push for.
Sure. Plus, it looks good now. Like, the whole way looks good, right? Like, from
happy with it while I'm at it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just gravy from here on in. Like, there's no.
Sure.
Yeah. And don't ever fall into the trap of trying to bulk your way into it. Just stay lean.
Yeah. Definitely. Now that I've gotten to the leanness, you know, I'm probably in the best shape I've ever been. And gotten to the leanness point that I'm at. I don't want to lose it because it's just, you know, I feel so much better, you know, just, you know, attitude-wise and just confidence and everything is so much different now than it was before. It was an amazing boost.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Rich Sagona's pictures, the guy that came in second?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he looks good. His podcast, as we're recording right now, his podcast is up, so...
Oh, good.
Yeah, you should listen to that. But same thing. He was with us years ago, like at the beginning, and he had like a major cut down from like 190 something down to like the 160s or 150s, but he stayed there since. And now this time around, he sharpened up even more. He went down like another, like his last transformation was good. This one was excellent. Like this one was like he finally got all the way there, and. But that's a good example of what you're after. Like once he lost the initial weight, he's never put it back on. He's just maintained around golden the whole time.
That's great. That's what I'd like to push for.
Obviously
those two guys were, you know, much bigger than me. They have some serious mass on them.
Rich is in the 140s.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's shorter than you, but he's thick. But the funny thing is, you look at his final picks this time. And he's lighter than the ones from before, but clearly there's more muscle there.
I've seen some of his entries from earlier.
Yeah.
It seemed like this is probably his second or third one transformation that he's done.
The other interesting thing is his measurements are bigger, but he's leaner. So
great.
His shoulders are bigger, but he's leaner. So that means there's way more muscle.
Yeah, he looks really thick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But anyways, that's just an example of someone that's kind of achieved what you're trying to do is get there, get lean, stay there, and then build. And that's exactly what he did. So,
Yeah,
so it's
that's
doable.
where I'm
It's,
headed, I
yeah,
guess.
it's doable. And don't let the fat come back. There's just you're just you won't like it.
That
It
for
won't
sure.
serve you any purpose. And so for dieting, you just stuck with the calories. Did you use fasting at all or no?
Occasionally, it was weird. I kind of got into a I was going to do the fasting twice a week, and because I had been doing that prior, and what I ended up getting into was just ended up having like this little protein box, I call it. It's a, you know, it's just a little pre-made shake that's 11 ounces and it gives you 30 grams. And I'd hit one of those sometime throughout the morning. And then I'd, you know, wouldn't have any breakfast or lunch, or I'd just have that. And then I'd just have one meal in the evening. So I was, you know, it wasn't really like a 16-8 or anything like the Lean Gains, or it was just, I'd just do most of my eating in the evening. And, you know, just kind of try to get through stuff. And it kind of like with your anything goes, I tried to hit the protein first. And then I ended up having a lot of popcorn. That would be my treat, you know.
That we
That'd
are
be my
like
nighttime
a
treat.
relatively like a brand that's not like doesn't have a lot of calories in it, yeah.
Yeah, I just tried to do the air popcorn
Oh
and,
yeah.
you know, just try to use that. And that worked out pretty well. And, you know, because then I'd have my meal and then I'd have that as my dessert or whatever,
Sure, yeah.
and that worked out really well because then I was, you know, I found that I wasn't really even hungry during the day, and you know, it wasn't any different than like a regular fast. I mean, it was, you know, you do your fast a couple of times a week. Sometimes it can be tough to make it feel, you know, the 24 hours or whatever, but I didn't really find that happening. And then after the contest was over, I tried to eat lunch a couple of times, and it's like, you know, it's just different, you know. It's just a change for me because I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to, you know, do that three meals a day type of thing. It's just not. I found that it's just not working for me. I mean, I got to where I'm at doing this.
And the contest, so that style of eating stuck with you now?
It is. Yeah, I'm still doing that. I'm a little more relaxed on the weekends because I'm with the family, and so, you know, if there's meal times or things like that. But for the most part, you know, Monday through Friday, you know, I still do the protein box or whatever, and then I do, you know, just a regular healthy dinner, and that's pretty much all I do. And it's staying, you know, I'm still, I'd say I'm a little bit even more lean now than I was when I took the pictures.
Oh, it's
So
amazing.
it's went
How do you
been what,
feel
like
about
three or
that?
four. Oh, it's awesome, because all I ever wanted to do was see my abs, you know.
And now they're there every
And
day.
I found that, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, they say, well, what percentage do you have to be at to be able to see that? And, you know, they say about 10%, but it depends on how you carry your fat. And I'm convinced that all of mine is in the stomach area because, you know, I have no fat left on my back or my legs or anything, and it's all right in front.
Yeah,
So,
you're just like me.
yeah, I figure I have to be down to, you know, 8 or 7% before I really get them to come in all the way. But,
Yeah,
you know, I'm okay with
they
that.
also might need a bit more development too. Like they just might need
Absolutely.
like just work. But yeah, so that's good that you've stayed even leaner. I'm with you on the dieting or not even the dieting, but the eating pattern. Do you drink coffee or anything during the day, like liquids?
Yeah, I
Me
do. I
too.
drink a lot of coffee, and I know it'll probably kill me, but I drink a lot of Coke Zero too, just to give something a taste, you
It's
know.
not gonna kill you. People are too bent out of shape about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you get so tired of drinking water and coffee that you gotta have something with some taste. So try everything, throw the lemon in the water and all sorts of stuff, and just whatever you can find that works for you.
I'm the same way. I'll do some coffee. I do the same thing as you. Maybe one day a week I'll end up having some kind of, I don't know, like a salad at lunch or something, or like you said, or like a protein bar, like you said, even a protein shake. But I do the same thing. I kind of go through the day with a few coffees, maybe something. Most of the time, not. And then I backload up. So when do you work out then? Do you work out before dinner or?
Yeah, I work out on my way home from work, and so I usually hit the gym about 4 o'clock, and you know, just as it's, you know, try to get in and get out before it gets really busy. But I make that part of my day. You know, I get up, go to work, go to the gym, go home. You know,
yeah,
and that
compartments. So you're you and me live the exact same life then. Monday to Friday, it's coffees, maybe a hit of protein throughout the day. 4 or 5 o'clock post-workout, then back, basically all the calories hit at dinner, and that's it. And
yes.
That's Monday to Friday, and then weekends, loosen up. I might, you know, if there's something social to go out. But a lot of times I just end up eating in a somewhat similar pattern. I might just have, like, a couple snacks throughout the day. That's about – I don't really end up, like, having a big breakfast or a big lunch, because I still end up most of my calories in the evening. I just have, like – I'll probably have some other snack items throughout the day. Or if there's, like, a breakfast event to go to, I'll go to it, right? It's just I just don't do
sure.
those things during the week.
Sure. And that's one of the nice things about, you know, not having to worry about what you're eating and when you're eating. You know, you've talked, you know, a lot about the different eating patterns and things like that. And there's really no hard, fast rules. As long as you just, you know, kind of keep consistent with what you do, you know, you can change it up every once in a while and it doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah. So during the contest, were you on the same pattern, or were you also a little bit strict on the weekends too? Or what did you do during the contest itself?
I was pretty strict on the weekends. Like I said, when I decided to go into this, it was all or nothing. I wanted to make sure that I went coming out of it, that I could be happy, tell myself that I'd done everything possible to, you know, create the best physique that I could. And so I was pretty strict on the weekends. I'm a big craft beer fan, and I didn't have any beer or anything for the whole, you know, 12 weeks. So, you know, it gave me an incentive, something to look forward to at the end. And it also, you know, gave me, you know, something to do and something to, some different things to try as far as eating, you know, different types of, you know, vegetables and stuff like that. I tried a whole bunch of different new things that I hadn't really been real, you know, comfortable with before. You know, like I ate a lot of broccoli because it fills you up, you know. It really does fill you up.
Without a lot of calories, yeah.
That's right. So,
well, one thing I do, it's a trick that I don't know if I've told anybody this, is I substitute mashed potatoes with mashed cauliflower. So you boil cauliflower to the point where you can just put a fork like right through it without any resistance.
Uh-huh.
Then you drain the water out of the cauliflower, throw it back in the pot, mash it with like a masher real quick, and then with one of those like hand blenders that's got like the spinning blade on the bottom, you just run that through it for about 2 minutes, like maybe just a splash of like almond milk I put in, which is super low calorie. And then, and after about 2 or 3 minutes, you've got it like whipped to the point where it's like really soft mashed potato consistency.
So it's the same consistency as a regular
consistency as a mashed potato with probably a fifth of the calories.
Wow.
Maybe less. Like you could easily do a whole head of cauliflower that way, and it's I'd be shocked if it's 100 calories. And yeah,
wow.
And so you get the like sensation of. It feels like you're eating mashed potatoes, but it's cauliflower. That's one of my techniques for like I would do a full on like Thanksgiving style dinner. So I'd have like turkey, but instead of mashed potatoes, I'd have the mashed cauliflower, and then I'd do some other kinds of greens, and then you can kind of get the experience with a lot less calories if you are smart with the things you like sub in and out. So, and then you can do like a low calorie dessert with like. The fat-free pudding, like the chocolate pudding, but it's fat-free, so the entire package is only, I don't know, if you do up the whole package, it's only 120 calories, and instead of using milk, I just use water, and it mixes up just fine, so you can end up eating like a big bowl of chocolate pudding for dessert for 100 and change calories. So like between that and the mashed potatoes, or the mashed cauliflower, the two, if you just went regular, you know, regular chocolate pudding with milk, and regular mashed potatoes instead, that would be like put together, those would add up to probably 1,000 calories. But when you do the mashed cauliflower and the zero fat pudding, you end up with like 200 and change calories. Like you're saving so many calories, but the experience is more or less the same.
Yeah, you have the same mouthfeel and taste.
Yeah.
I mean,
90% of the way there, right? Like for what you're, for how many calories you're saving, yeah, it's just a home run. It's a no brainer. So.
Yeah, and I found part of the deal was during the contest, you know, in the evening, you know, you kind of have that time where you kind of walk by the pantry and kind of stick your nose in there or the fridge or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I was really good about not doing those extra things. But I found that it was, just as you mentioned, I wasn't really hungry. I was just kind of, I just needed that, just needed to have a taste of something like a salt or a, mm-hmm. or a sweetness or something like that. And, you know, so that's what ends up, you know, hitting a lot of people is they end up just kind of hitting these little snacks, you know, and you don't realize how many calories you're dropping.
Oh,
in,
totally.
You know, 20 seconds, you can throw, you know, 200 calories in your mouth and not even realize. So,
yeah, man, you and I are exactly the same. If that's the case, then just have low calorie stuff on hand. Like if you know,
exactly.
If you know yourself that well, that like, you know, 10, 11 at night before bed, you're just sitting around, you're like, and you find yourself like nosing through the pantry, make sure there's something. if you're going to eat anyways, make sure there's some option there that's lower calorie. So at least, and if it has to be sweet, do the low fat pudding, do the zero sugar. What is it? The jello is like a
yeah.
whole bowl of it. It's like 10 calories. Like if you really need to eat something sweet, have one of those ready, or do like, and if it has to be salty, have like savory instead of sweet, at least, or have some fruit. If have some fruit on hand, or if it has to be savory, have some other sort of vegetable thing that you do up that can be snacked on. Like it's just, if as long as you preempt it and like beat yourself to the punch, like you did with like the popcorn, because you're gonna eat something anyways. As long as you have
Definitely.
Some low calorie available, that's way better than. Like, that's the way I view it. I view it as, like, I know that I have way less control in the evening than the morning. I know that I'm going to be doing the post-dinner snooping around for snacks.
Uh-huh.
And I know I'm so mindless about it, I'll just eat whatever's in front of me.
Yeah, so if it's not in the house, it's not an option.
Exactly. But if it's in the house, it gets eaten. So
that's right.
I might as well at least keep something lower calorie there. So if there's some grapes in the fridge, I'll just eat those. But if there was a chocolate bar in the fridge, I'd eat that. Like, whatever is there is going to get eaten. So I basically direct my future self, so to speak, by knowing 5 hours from now, my future self is going to be poking through the fridge for a post-dinner snack, and whatever future me finds will eat. So they better find something that's lower calorie. So then that's what I do. I preempt it. I beat myself to the punch, really, I guess is the way you say it.
Yeah, that's a good point, because if you're, you know, if you know you're going to do it anyway, then, you know, set yourself up for it.
Oh,
so you
like,
don't set
like
yourself up to fail.
Yeah, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde thing. Like right now, it's early in the day, and I totally can, you know, there's so much more willpower. There's earlier in the day. Later in the day, it's just all gone. So I can now think about how I'll be then, and I'm just going to, like, set myself up for success instead of failure. And it's not like there's nothing wrong with us. That's just complete human nature. So you might as, you know, the fact that we can predict ourselves in the future, that's like a distinguishing feature of like humans versus all other animals. So like you can control it.
No, that's right.
It's funny, but in that moment, you act just like any other mammal. Like you're just hunting around for food and you're uncontrollable. And you're like, oh, I'll eat whatever's this. But it's something you planted there for your future self.
Yeah, and it really is mindless eating. I mean, if you
100%.
Don't, you know, like you said, you find something there, and you know, you've already devoured it, and then you realize, oh man.
So I guess the technique we're talking about is mindless eating that you've set yourself up for it to be low calorie.
Yes,
but it's still mindless.
Yes. but at least you've hedged your bet that way, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, it's been a good interview. You got like any final advice that you want to give to any newer guys listening who might be entering this next contest? Well, I guess by the time they listen to this, they'll be in the contest. So give them some advice, assuming they're like midway through the contest.
Yeah. I mean, this interview is taking place on the first day of the contest. So I would say probably the thing that I'd like to tell everybody is that, I lifted and tried to, you know, have a good physique for many, many years. I've lifted since high school, and today is my 44th birthday. So, you know, I'm really, really pretty experienced at it, but I never really got to a point anywhere near where I'm at right now. And I think it's all comes down to the patience. You don't realize how, you know, I was eating low calorie, according to the RTD calculator. And when I did this, I was sparing my calories. I knew that I was burning more than I was taking in. And it was, I did this for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and didn't really feel like I was seeing any progress. And then, as things start to, after 4 or 5 weeks, I say, okay, just stick with it. And, good things will happen. And I actually started to see things a little bit in the mirror. But it took about 5 or 6 weeks into the contest for the light bulb to go on, for me to be able to say, okay, yeah, I'm actually seeing some progress now. Mm-hmm. And as I continued in through the 12 weeks, as I was telling you off air, John, I got to the end and I ended up taking the pictures, and I was kind of amazed at the way the pictures turned out, because all I'd ever seen was myself in a mirror. Mm-hmm. And I was very, I'm pretty critical of myself, so I was always kind of felt like I was kind of moving the bar. But, because my wife said, no, you look good, you look fine. And then I didn't believe her. I was, I still got some little fat around the lower abs, so I was always tweaking things. I need to do this. She's like, no, you look fine. And then I looked at the pictures. I was like, I'm pretty happy with those. I'm happy the way those turned out. And it just taught me the patience. You don't see the changes. You look at yourself, you see yourself every day in the mirror, and you don't really, realize that the changes that are taking place, they're just so slow. Mm-hmm. And then if you go, and you look at yourself, 6 weeks or 12 weeks later, and you've really been hitting it hard, you will see the difference. It's just, even at 12 weeks, I didn't really, recognize how much of a transformation I'd made in the 12 weeks just by looking in the mirror. It was actually the photos when I saw, the different body angles of pictures that I was like, wow, okay, yeah, I did come a long way. I did make quite a difference, and I'm pretty happy with the way it turned out. So I'm just trying to keep it right now, and just, I have a friend who was, very lean, and I was asking him one time about how he does, he keeps himself so lean and everything, and he told me this. He says, and it's awesome being ripped. He says, when you have low body fat, you just feel so much better. And he's absolutely right. So, yeah, I would just say be patient if you can, because, you don't think things are happening, but they really are.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that's a great place to leave it. So, congratulations on your placing, and thanks for being on the call.
So, all right. Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks a lot.
The one other thing I want to add is the irony of what you said. It's your 44th birthday. You've been at this for how many years? And then in 12 weeks, you have a rapid change. But then the message is patience, which is funny, because in the grand scheme of things, stuff happened fast.
When you point it out like that, definitely. I mean, this was a small snapshot in time. Mm-hmm. And we all, that wasn't. I didn't lift continuously for all that time. There was that I didn't, sure. But it was, mm-hmm. But just, like you said, when you look at how small of a window 12 weeks is in the general scheme of things, it is mm-hmm. a very, short period. So,
but ironically, you still need patience throughout those 12 weeks.
Exactly.
Well, that's a good place to leave it. So, congratulations, like I said, and for Hans Gutmann, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.